Ryan French is joining us now from Monday Q. Ryan, first of all, thank you for taking the time to join us. If you would, reflect for us on golf's longest day, because you've done such a good job throughout your career in bringing stories to all of us about the underdogs. How much is golf's longest day about opportunities for the underdogs?
Yeah, I mean, I was just looking through the scores, and every year it's like this, and that's what makes this day yesterday so great to me and to a lot of golf fans. Is like, you know, you have a six-time PGA Tour winner get through, Chris Kirk. You have three high schoolers get through. You have guys who are having tough starts to their PGA Tour season who just need another start at full points. You know, you have guys pushing their own carts. It's just, you have a mix, and that's what it is every year, and that's what makes the U.S. Open so special.
Well, I understand that one of the guys who made it through golf's longest day, he's won on the PGA Tour. I was following you on X and apparently sent some boxes to you to give to high school kids. And here's your tweet, you know, this a couple weeks ago, inside these boxes, wedges, thousands of dollars worth of clothes from Emiliano Grillo. Tell us about how this all came to pass.
Yeah, I get this message a lot, and I'm so appreciative of players. Is like they switch sponsors or they have a new logo come on, so a lot of their clothes are obsolete. And they're all either new or brand new. And so I get this a lot, and usually a couple boxes show up, which I'm very appreciative of. I have a foundation that helps high school golf teams in need. A lot of them are in very poor areas, and they need clothes for life, let alone clothes for golf. So Emiliano reached out, sent them to me, and shows the FedEx guy shows up. There's four huge boxes. I mean, I cannot tell you. There's probably 30 or 40 wedges, countless amounts of brand new clothes. I mean, it has to be in the thousands, near 10,000. And it's just amazing. We have never talked. I've never talked to him in my life. So it's just amazing what he does. And if karma's a thing, he was paid back a little bit yesterday.
That is an incredibly cool story, the way that you and them, you're providing the vehicle for this giving back in such a way, Ryan. Very, very neat indeed. Let's, on this subject of youth, you mentioned the high schoolers who got through at golf's longest day yesterday and more. The amount of amateurs that got through, some of them, as you've noted, very, very young. Is this a passing of the torch? Is this something that this is the new normal for us to get used to? What do you think's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, I think as training gets better, as people dedicate themselves to one sport more, as NIL becomes a thing and players are afforded more opportunities, that we're going to see, you know, these guys like Miles and Giuseppe and Jackson all get through. It's like they're so good. I mean, those guys beat fields all the time. Miles has obviously made cuts on Korn Ferry Tour, and the amount of talent in the top whatever number of juniors is the best it's ever been. And so I think we're going to see a lot more of it as the years come, for sure.
Golf's longest day, Ryan, never disappoints. But how surprised were you when Adam Svensson of Canada, during the playoff, after McGreevy makes the putt, picks up his marker instead of continuing to find out who would be the first alternate out of Lambton Golf and Country Club?
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for Adam, but it is a colossal mistake for sure. It's just not something you face in golf, like most playoffs, you know, Mondays or in a tournament, guy makes a putt to get through and you pick up your marker. It is what it is if he's the last guy. But in the U.S. Open, you got to be aware. I assume, I don't know this for sure, but any rules official should have mentioned it on the tee. But even if they didn't, Adam knows. It's the U.S. Open. And from that site, very likely the first alternate will get into the U.S. Open. So now he had to make a 10-footer to par to tie Wallace. But it's a huge mistake for sure. And I'm sure Adam would would say the same thing. He watched Max make it and just instinctively grabbed his marker. But it will likely cost him a spot in the U.S. Open. And I assume he didn't get much sleep last night. I'm sure he didn't.
Ryan, we're about 8.5 days away from the start of the 126 U.S. Open. We both asked each other to open the show today. What are you most looking forward to? What are you most looking forward to?
Yeah, I think this is for a very small select golf nerds that have followed me, but and it's what I've done even before this. I think it's such a cool opportunity. There will be guys who have qualified will never make it in the pro ranks. They'll never get back to this moment. And as much as I want a qualifier to win, that's very unlikely. But I say this about Monday qualifiers too. This is taken to a next level. Is no matter what happens in their career from here on, especially for the guys that this is their first major, or they're an amateur or they're mini tour grinder, is like they'll be able to tell this story in their basement at a bar or whatever for the rest of their life. Like often qualifiers get to play practice rounds with cool, you know, PGA Tour winners or major winners. And that's as much as I want a qualifier to win. Those are the stories that are very cool. This will be a memory for the rest of their lives. And it's just really, really cool on the side of golf I love.
Ryan, before we let you go, we have some big news to share. As we know, the Big Break series returning to Golf Channel on Monday, August 24th, 9 p.m. But starting in August, Golf Pass, you're going to be hosting a series called Meet the Contestants. You're going to be announcing new contestants on the show each day. What can you tell us about your new role?
That I can't believe it. I mean, there's like so many moments that are truly surreal. I've been a fan of Big Break, you know, forever. I remember Derek Gillespie and Two Gloves, and who can forget Chi-Chi hitting himself. There's just, the show was so much a part of our culture growing up in golf.
Go.
And it's coming back. It's going to be great. Go. And to be a part of it is, I don't even know what to say. It's like, I never got this far in my dreams, quite frankly. It's like, I love this show and so lucky to be able to do what I do, and to now be part of this is surreal. There's a lot of great stories, guys I know, some great personalities, and I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
I still remember Don Donatello and Kip Henley battling. Don Donatello, pull that tape tight. Pull that tape tight. Big Break, good. Ryan, you are good for this game. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us, and we'll be seeing you on the tube in August.
Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate the time.
There he is, Ryan French, Monday Q. Stay tuned, folks. More golf today. Yes, historic Sunday at Riviera. Nelly Korda earned her fourth major title, her first U.S. Women's Open. Beth Ann Nichols and Grant Boone join us for a roundtable coming up.
Golf Central Update, brought to you by Callaway Golf.
So back on golf today, on Sunday, world number one, Nelly Korda continued her dominant run in 2026, going for her second consecutive major title. She made a clutch birdie at the par 5 17th on that final day to give herself a one-shot lead. Nelly would hold on to secure her first U.S. Women's Open title and her fourth career major championship. You got it. It went in.
Yes, it did. More elusive company for the world number one. Players to win four major championships by the age of 28.
So impressive.
I mean, you got like talking Yanni Sen. We're talking the big names in the game. Patty Berg, Sari Pack, Inbee Park, Mickey Wright, Louis Suggs, Kari Webb, there's Nelly and Kathy Whitworth besides. Time now for a Golf Today roundtable. Let's welcome in Golf Week senior writer Beth Ann Nichols and Grant Boone, the voice of the LPGA Tour right here on Golf Channel. Great to see you both. Beth Ann, Nelly winning at Riviera, a U.S. Women's Open, in your mind, is the biggest story on the LPGA since Inbee 2013? Well, where do you want to take it?
Well, I mean, it feels like the biggest moment for me in the game since Michelle Wee West won the 2014 U.S. Women's Open at Pinehurst number 2. And of course, what that kickstarted with a media tour. And it was different, though, in that you really feel like we could see one of the all-time greats here. We hoped that there would be, the same with Michelle Wee West, that we would have this floodgate open, right? And obviously, unfortunately, that didn't happen for Michelle, but it does feel like it could for Nelly, in the sense that, you know, we could see her win multiple U.S. Women's Open titles. We could see her win later in the month at the KPMG Women's PGA, make it 3 majors in the row. You know, I mean, it just really feels like the possibilities are endless right now for Nelly Korda. But in terms of buzz, I liken it to Michelle in 2014. But in terms of potential, it feels way bigger.
So, Grant, let's go down this road for a second. When we think about first names in the game of golf, Arnie and Jack, Tiger more recently, of course, Rory, Scotty. Then we have Nelly, and we've all been around long enough for above the fold, below the fold conversations. Has Nelly moved above the fold on the sports page, or has she transcended that and now she's all the way on the first page? Where does she fit?
Well, it's hard to say for me because I'm so immersed in it, but to me, I think if you're seeing, let's say, an ESPN headline, and it says Nelly wins the U.S. Women's Open, I think most people get it now. It's Nelly Korda. It was in Hollywood, and so in the parlance of that place, she's right out of Central Casting. She's got the name. She's got the pedigree. You know, she's got the glamour. We've seen her on the red carpet of the Met Gala. But she showed the grit, I think, on Sunday. And that, to me, is the kind of stuff that elevates a player from great to maybe sublime, to Beth Ann's point. Beth Ann, a two-name wonder.
Yes, you are, Beth Ann. And I want to ask the same question to you about transcendence. It's hard to transcend, in my opinion, in golf. I mean, you have Arnie, Jack, you have Tiger. Annika, perhaps, do you see Nelly as a transcendent figure, or does more have to happen from a social media Madison Avenue standpoint?
Well, we're getting there. You know, I will say, going back to Michelle again, you know, at this time in 2014, you know, I was watching Michelle Wee in New York City doing an incredible tour that started with the Today Show first thing in the morning. And then, you know, went all the way throughout the entire day. And, you know, this is the first time that a U.S. Women's Open winner has been offered to have that same type of tour. And Nelly decided not to do it today. She's playing at the Dow. She's going to do some virtual media today with some big names. But, you know, the hope is that after the Dow that she will go to New York and do something on Monday, and talking with the LPGA today, that's the plan. And hopefully she will be on the Today Show and she will be able to do some really cool things. Of course, that's U.S. Open week. So for the golf world, things have shifted and kind of moved on. But I hope we can still get a big play from Nelly on Monday in New York City. But, you know, that's definitely, you know, the kind of thing that's going to need to happen for Nelly to really, you know, move into that next level of stardom. But there's no question that winning majors is what gets you there, right? And so, you know, it seems like she really figured out a lot, not just on Sunday, but what she was able to do, starting with Shoegate on Thursday and a really big time struggle off the tee, having a grip change throughout the week, buckling down, not panicking. It was a very different Nelly than we've seen when she's been in similar positions in the past at big events, even when she's coming in hot.
If I could just amplify something BA said, I would even say it's different when you win a U.S. Women's Open, even more perhaps than the other major championships. And so winning majors is great. Winning U.S. Women's Opens, I think, does create the opportunity for transcendence.
To that point, Beth Ann, let me start with you again on this, because you just alluded to this fact. Is it enough that Nelly is simply Nelly, because you've been one of the voices that have weighed in the past and said, no, we need more here. We need more to promote the women's game, promote women's golf. Does she need to do more, or could she be almost Tiger-esque like and just continuing to be dominant and let us see Nelly as she wants to be seen?
Well, I'm gonna take two things here. First of all, for the women's game, unfortunately, you always need more. I don't think you can just win and that's enough. I really do feel like in today's world, especially with things having the ability to go viral and our attention spans being so short, that we need to have this constant barrage, right? In order to remember what's going on. It's just so much harder these days to become a big name star, I think, than it used to be, that the landscape is just so busy. But on the other hand, Nelly has been great in recent weeks, and I will say in the press room at the U.S. Women's Open, she offered some insight that we detail that we normally don't see, and she offered it up even without having to be specifically asked in some cases, which is great, you know. And she's going to go back on the Pat McAfee show, and shoot, the first time around with that, I heard things I'd never heard from Nelly before, and so I think she had a very relaxed persona when she was speaking with him. You know, it was different. Her vibe was different, and it was so relatable. So and even last night on social media, you know, she makes a crack about the fact that it's what a bad time to have, you know, a pimple on my face breakout. You know, that's as relatable as it gets, right? So, you know, I do think we're seeing her in a different way this year. But she's got to say yes to things. The winning is just not enough.
Grant, but finally, there's one way in which I'm like Nelly. The pimples pop up every now and then when you least expect it. I would add on to what Beth Ann said by saying, in general, I've learned this from my wife in the world of education. I've learned it from my colleagues through the years in this business. Women in general have to do more to get the same thing as men. And it is not fair, but it is reality. And so I would say to Beth Ann's point, Nelly signs a million autographs and really she's generally an introvert, but she gets energy from young girls and inspiring them. And so what I would say to Nelly is, when you are deciding whether or not to do something, don't do it for yourself, because I don't think she cares if she becomes a bigger star. Think about the younger girls who just got your autograph. You know, that's what the founders did. Nelly has done more and more and more of that. But that to me is what I would say to Nelly.
Beth Ann, so Nelly's won the first couple of majors of 2026. So she has a chance to complete an in-season Grand Slam, but my question is, does she have to win two more or three more this season to complete an in-season Grand Slam in your mind? How will you cover this story?
Oh my goodness, Damon, it is the question, you know? And of course, the last time we've had this conversation, of course, was when NB Park won the first three, and it just happened to be the year that Evian became a major in 2013. And you know, I'm going to write that the LPGA is going to consider it to be a calendar Grand Slam should she win four. But in my heart, I feel like she'll have to win the whole thing, all five, you know? And I think it's unfortunate that the bar is higher for the women yet again, even in this instance. But I think there's just going to be a lot of pushback from the fans, you know, who are going to say, you know, I think she needs to, you know, clear the table. So, but I mean, look, what an amazing controversy to have for the tour, to have this kind of conversation. Yeah. We haven't seen an American win the first two majors of the season since Pat Bradley in 1986. So these are champagne problems right now for the tour.
Here's what I would say about the whole issue of the Grand Slam. When you are in the position of the LPGA and you control what is and what isn't a Grand Slam and a major even, it increases your flexibility. It also decreases the acceptance by golf fans. There is no governing body in men's golf to say these are the four. Otherwise, somebody could say the Players' Championship is a major. There isn't. But there's more acceptance widespread worldwide. In the case of women's golf, the LPGA decides what are the four, or the, in this case, five global majors. And so, and I know why they call the Career Slam four of the five. What they say is, we don't want to add a burden. It's just when we added Evian, as BA said in 2013, we were trying to increase opportunities for our players. As we know, three of the four majors at the time are on life support. And when Mike Wan added the Evian Championship as a major, he didn't know what was on the horizon. And things were not great in women's golf. Like, they're not nearly as good as they are now. So they didn't want to burden someone. I do think it's worth reviewing. And here's what I would think. Anna Nordqvist, when she began playing on the LPGA Tour, there were four majors. To make Anna win all five, to me, seems maybe burdensome. But if you started your career after Evian became a major, which was 2013, to me, you haven't won the slam if you haven't won them all. And I will tell you this. Some of the older guard, they don't really think of Evian quite on the same level as some of the other majors. But when Celine Boutier won 3 years ago, it was a powerful moment. And she had only known Evian as a major. And so to me, if you came on tour after Evian became a major, then you need to win all five if you're going to have the career Grand Slam. That's my thought.
A burden, an opportunity, no doubt, a challenge. Great stuff from Grant Boone and Beth Ann Nichols. By the way, Nelly Korda has won an Olympic gold medal and qualifying for golf in the 2028 LA Olympic Games, officially underway. World ranking points began counting towards the women's competition as of yesterday, while men's ranking points will be counted as of June 22nd. Athletes ranked inside the top 15 of the Olympic golf ranking will qualify with up to four per country for each competition. And beyond the top 15, a country can qualify a maximum of two athletes for each competition. Here are the important dates you should know. Men's individual stroke play in July of 28. Mixed team event for the first time, and the women's individual stroke play later that summer. Back on Golf Today, one of the notable names to punch his ticket to the U.S. Open yesterday, Kashmir Keith Mitchell, a PGA Tour winner, finished in third place at Hawks Ridge in Georgia after shooting 69-63, and this will mark his third appearance in the U.S. Open. How about his major championship history? 14 starts. His best finish was a tie for 20th at the U.S. Open a few years ago at the Los Angeles Country Club. Keith and his equipment ready for Shinnecock Hills.
Keith will be here in an hour. We know that we're going to build some heads with him in the truck and then take him out to the range to do some testing. Good way to showcase Jay Pixel, driver on tour.
Testing the JPX One. Had a few tests already and learned a lot about the new driver, the speed of it. Hopefully this will be the final test with the new iteration of a little bit of face angle change. Put the JPX in the bag.
It's really exciting to go from designing this golf club on our computer screen and being able to prototype it, test with the pros early on, go throughout many processes, and then eventually just come out to the PGA Tour events to see our creation come to life and perform. Keith being one of the best drivers in the game is going to give us complete confidence that if we have a driver that's performing, it's performing at the highest level.
Now that we kind of got this one tweaked in just right, with the face angle, I think this is going to be a better performing driver. Yeah.
Kyle's been building my clubs for 12 years, and he knows every weight and every, you know, location and the shaft and the grip that's supposed to go. He can build me a driver exactly like my gamer was before, and then have the new nano alloy technology on the face. That's going to be the difference. We're on 13 or 14 heads, and we have to go through a bunch to make sure that those fit. And when they do, I know that when I hit a bad drive, it's on me and not the club.
Keith is super easy to work with, and I don't think we could ask for a better ambassador for our company. He gives us great feedback, helps validate our products, and really helps push our product to the next level as well.
The last one was by far the best one.
Yeah.
It's a really in-depth process on kind of how we first bring these products to the tour players, and then how we get their feedback to adapt it to make it the best product possible.
New JPX One driver for you.
With driver keys, what is your optimal ball speed?
As fast as it can go.
On course, fast as it can go.
While testing a driver feels number one. I want to see it come out my window, and I want to make sure that it feels, you know, solid, or I'm hitting it in the center of the face. After that, it's all numbers based. It's all data. Just really want to get this spin dialed in, because the speed's obviously up here. Mm-hmm. Figuring that out, I think we'll be in good shape. We want to see how fast it's going, the spin rate, the launch angle, the land angle, everything that we can put in to optimize that. But if it doesn't pass the field test first, the numbers won't matter.
187 ball speed, so fast.
Bringing nano alloy face, which is essentially going to deliver us a more efficient impact, lose less energy in the golf ball, which is going to relate to higher ball speeds. So now we're in the phase of just fine-tuning direction, fine-tuning spin rate to be exactly where we need. We're confident that we're winning the ball speed battle almost every time.
Ball speed was up on the last one, though, Cookie. You like that? It's hard to build a perfect club if you don't spend all the time testing and learning what makes it better or worse. Now we got this back to where the prototype was, I would say. Where it's the right loft, right face angle, and the ball speed's where it's supposed to be. Now we gotta do the spin, figure the spin workout. We've been testing this for so long that a day like today is basically putting all of that work into one and seeing how much it's faster, it's more efficient, it's performing. Because 1% gain for me is huge. We're chasing every single percent to try to get better.
Looks like it's ready to go to the first tee.
If I can do that every time, we'll be good. We'll be in good shape. Thanks, Brian.
Perfect.
Time now for a good video, just because this is great video. RBC Canadian Open week, so we flash back to 2023. Nick Taylor from 72 feet for birdie on the fourth playoff hole. Beat Tommy Fleetwood, set off that electric celebration. First Canadian to win the National Open since Pat Fletcher in 1954. What a time, though, for the USGA.
It's incredible. Curtis Cup, Walker Cup later on this year, with all of these golf organizations and all these great events going on from coast to coast. We are in the heart of the season in 2026. Can't wait for this week, because there's some big golf going on this week. You're doing Central tonight, what, at 4?
I am, 4 o'clock. Brendan? I think I saw Brendan DeYoung kind of wandering the hallways. He did golf longest
day. He didn't go home either. We just stayed
as well. Golf Central coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern. We will see you then.